Don't just sit there. Wait on God. Don't just sit there. Wait on God. Let me begin with a question here. How do you feel about waiting? Waiting is not natural to me. I hate to wait. Getting stuck in traffic, Deborah immediately starts talking to me. Well, now it's probably not backed up very far, and we're not going to be here long. Look, I can see the beginning of it. We're almost getting out of here. Waiting in line at a store, like Costco. Why am I in Costco? And we're like halfway to the back of the store. That's where the end of the line is. And I'm telling Deborah, I'm saying, listen, there's nothing in this buggy that I want bad enough to wait in this line for. Come on. She says, well, we've got the stuff. We can't leave now. And I'm like, yeah, we can leave right now. But she says, but look how fast it's going. This line is moving fast. And if there's a hell on earth, it happened to me just day before yesterday. I had to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Now, back in the day, you go in there and you pull a tag, and it's a number. And you look up at the thing, and they're on number 37. And I'm holding a four-digit number. But for the first time since before the pandemic, I actually had to go in there for license. But again, my wife is telling me, listen, it's not like it used to be. Now you call and make an appointment, and you walk in, tell them your name, and this is it. Oh, I believe that when she said that. So I make an appointment, and I walk in there, and I tell the guy who I am and what time's the appointment. He says, okay. He says, go over there and have a seat in one of those chairs, and they will call you. So I'm sitting waiting, and I'm waiting, and then he calls my name. So now I'm going to get up and they're going to wait on me, right? No. Now I go from sitting and waiting to now standing in a line and waiting. Back in the day, you spend your whole day at the Detroit Motor Vehicle. But now that they've got this new and improved thing, you only have to spend half the day in the Department of Motor Vehicles. You say, well, I work for them. Repent. Now listen to me. For a lot of people, waiting tends to produce stress. And stress tends to produce everything. But let me say this, and let me make this very, very clear. If you are a Christian, you are going to spend some time in God's waiting room. So Sunday morning, a preacher was in his office and he was just pacing back and forth in his office like a crazy person. And a couple of the members began to notice, what's wrong with the preacher? He's like a caged animal in his own office, just walking back and forth. And somebody said, well, somebody needs to go in there and find out what's wrong. And they're like, I ain't going in there. So finally, one of the members says, listen, I'm going in there. So he went in there and he asked the preacher, he says, preacher, what is wrong? And the preacher stopped pacing. He threw up his hands. He says, what's wrong is that I am in a hurry and God is not. Well, we can all relate to that. See, when we're waiting, we want answers. When we're waiting, we want solutions. When we're waiting, we want resolution to whatever it is we're waiting on. But brethren, many times, while you and I may be in a hurry, God is not. God doesn't wear a watch. And God doesn't own a calendar. 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 8, one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. So what may appear to be a long time for us is not a long time for God. Now let me illustrate exactly where this sermon is heading. Let's say that I have a decision to make. It's a life-changing decision. There's a lot that's riding on this decision. And so I go to God and I pray about this decision. God, this decision is important. This decision is going to affect a lot of people. And God, you know my heart and you know that I want to do what is right. So I need for you in some way to guide me and help me to get through this and to make the right decision. Now, when I get through with that prayer, what am I supposed to do until God answers that prayer? Did you hear me? Listen, between the amen and the answer, what am I supposed to do? Let me illustrate. Let's say there is a situation, a circumstance, and I need help with this. So I go to God and I get down on my knees and I ask God to give me the wisdom. How is the best way to do this? And God, there is this drama in my life, and I need an answer, and I need a resolution. I need to know what's going on here, and I need to do it. So when I get through praying, and when I get up off of my knees, what am I supposed to do till God gives me that answer? You got it? You there? What am I supposed to do while I'm waiting on God? Now, all of that brings us to James chapter 5. Open your Bible to James chapter 5. And here is what's going on. James uses three illustrations that deal with waiting on God. His illustrations are these. He illustrates waiting on God by using a farmer. James uses the illustration of waiting on God with the prophets of old times. And James, in talking about waiting on God, he uses the illustration from the patriarch Job. Now listen. In each one of those illustrations, the farmer, the prophets, and Job, in each one of those illustrations, James gives us three things that we are supposed to do while we are waiting on God. Don't just sit there, wait on God. James says, here are three things we are supposed to be engaged in while we're waiting for God to answer. Ooh. Number one, in James chapter 5, here's what you do while you're waiting on God. In verse 7 and 8, James uses the illustration of the farmer. And in that illustration, James says that waiting is a time of preparation. A time of preparation. Now look carefully, James chapter 5, look carefully at verse 7 and verse 8. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, and how patient he is for the early rains and the latter rains. Verse 8, you too, now it's us, you too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Now, brethren, listen to me. What am I supposed to do while I'm waiting on God to answer my situation? James says, listen, he says waiting on God is a time of preparation, and he uses a farmer to illustrate that. So here's the question. What do farmers do? Well, the farmers go out in the spring and they plant the seeds for the crops. Then in the fall, the farmers go back out there in the fall and they harvest those crops. But all summer long, the farmer just takes a vacation and he sits around and he does nothing, right? Wrong. Listen, waiting is a very busy time for the farmer. Waiting is a time of preparation. While the farmer is waiting, he is watering. While the farmer is waiting, he is fertilizing. While the farmer is waiting, he is weeding. Listen, while the farmer is waiting, he's getting all of his equipment ready, so when that harvest comes in, he's able to act immediately upon that harvest. Now listen. James isn't teaching us a lesson here on farming. The lesson here is about waiting on God when life has flipped upside down. And what James says, listen, waiting on God is a time of preparation. So here's what that means. That's what it meant to the farmer. Now here's what it means to you and me. While we are waiting on God, we're not just passing time. While we are waiting on God, we're not sitting around wringing our hands. Well, I hope this turns out, and I just don't know. Listen, that's not how Christian people handle waiting on God. But while we are waiting on God, brethren, we remain steadfast to God. And while we are waiting on God, we have a confident, I said we have a confident expectation that not only can God answer prayer, but that God, bless God, can answer my prayer. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. He says, be strong. He says, take heart and wait on the Lord. Waiting on God is a time of preparation. Waiting on God is a time when we get our act and ourselves together so that when that prayer is answered, and God will answer it, then we can get on with it. Now look at James 5, look at verse 7. In verse 7, he talks about the early rain and the latter rain. Now, to us this is backward, but it wasn't to them. The early rains would fall in late October and through early November. Now, what was the purpose of the early rain? The purpose of the early rain was to germinate the seed that had been planted. The purpose of that early rain was to start the growth process on the grain that the farmer had planted. Then the latter rains would come toward the end of April and into early May. Well, what was the purpose of the latter rain? The purpose of the latter rain was to mature that grain. It was to mature that crop to its finish. Are you listening? Listen carefully. Here's what the farmer understood that many of us don't understand about waiting on God. What the farmer understood is that you don't go out and plant the crop today and then come back tomorrow and harvest that crop. But there is a waiting. There is patience. The farmer understood that if I go out there and do my part, that as he's doing his part, he has complete trust that God will then do his part and bring that rain. Think about how much the farmer does before God ever makes a move. He has to go out there in the field and clear that field. Any debris got to be gone. He has to go back out there and plow that field. He has to go back out there and put down the seeds and plant those crops. That farmer is doing all of that, trusting in all of his heart, I'm going to do what I can do about this situation, and what I cannot do about this situation, bless God, God will step in and do what I can't do. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. You too. You know who you is? Yeah, you is us-ins. You is we-ins. Be patient and stand firm. Listen. Listen. When we're waiting on God, we're not in a panic. When we're waiting on God, we don't engage in useless anxiety. The farmer understood that God is going to tend to his harvest. And what you and I have got to understand is that God absolutely is going to tend to his people. Waiting on God is a time of preparation. Listen, listen, don't just sit there, wait on God. You do what you can do about the situation, and God will do what we can't do about the situation. Listen to me. Work, work as if everything depends on you, and pray as if everything depends on God. Put shoes on your prayers. Waiting is a time of preparation. I'm going to do everything I can do about the situation, and then I'm going to say, God, if you're waiting on me, you're killing time. Amen. I'm ready. Number two, don't just sit there and wait on God. Waiting is a time of preparation. Number two, verse 10. James says that waiting is a time of meditation. Let me ask you something. Whatever happened to meditation? Look at verse 10, James 5, verse 10. Brothers, an example of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, let me tell you a couple of things about the prophets. First of all, for the most part, they were a very dedicated crew. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel are some of the most outstanding people in all of the Bible. They were a dedicated crew for the most part. But the second thing that the prophets were is that the prophets were inquisitive about what they wrote. Now think about this. Isaiah had a lot to say in messianic prophecies about the coming of Jesus. Isaiah was writing what he was writing 750 years before Christ was ever born. But these guys would write, but they were inquisitive about what they were writing. Well, when is this going to happen? How is it? You say, how do you know all of that? Because I read the Bible. We're in James 5. I want you to do this. I want everybody to do this. You're in James 5. Turn one page. Just one page and you're in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the subject is the greatness of salvation. Peter's talking about how great salvation is. Now, every eye, 1 Peter 1, look at verse 10 and 11. Concerning this salvation, that is the salvation that Christ brought. The prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, that is the prophets prophesied about this salvation and this Messiah was going to come and bring it. Listen to it. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come, look what they did. They searched intently with great care. That's meditation. They searched intently with great care. Look at verse 11. Why were they so intense on this? Trying to find out the time and the circumstances of which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glory that would come. In other words, the Old Testament prophets would write this, and now they're thinking, well, when is this going to happen? You know, am I going to be alive when this happened? Am I going to get to see this happen? And so what did they do? They would write these prophecies and then intently, with great care, they would search this out. How is this going to happen? And when is this going to happen? Listen to me. That's meditation. When you go to the Word and you intensely search that out, that's meditation. Now, let me give you two examples of meditation in the Bible. Two examples. First, go back to Psalm 1. Come on. Turn the page. I'm not doing this by myself. Psalm 1. This is how the book of Psalms opens. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Pause. Here's the happy man. Here's the man who is blessed. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. Verse 2. But his, who's his? The happy man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Look at me. In that passage, who is the happy man? Who is the blessed man? The blessed person, the happy person, is the person who meditates on God's word. Now, let me teach you something. The word meditate here in Psalm 1, that word literally means to mutter. It means to talk to yourself in a low voice. You say, well, how does that work? Here's how that works. You get up in the morning and maybe you read a chapter or you read a passage and you get a verse stuck in your head. You take that verse and you carry that verse with you throughout the day, thinking and meditating on that verse and what you're doing that day. Listen, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So I'm going to meditate on that verse today. So I'm going through the day and I'm thinking to myself, man, how does God fix everything to work it out for my good? You know what? And so here's how I'm living. I'm thinking, listen, whatever happens to me is okay. Because whatever happens to me, even if my worst enemy does this to me, God is going to take what my worst enemy does and God is going to work it out for me and I'm going to be okay. But that's not what we do. We walk through the day saying, well, this is about to get a whole lot worse. Ain't nobody gonna be able to fix this. Listen, that's not meditating on the word. But that's what we do. Amen. Now I'm gonna tell you something about this. I know about this. I get up in the morning before any human ought to get up. And I go into my office and close the door. And I sit there and study myself stupid. And then I get up, I get I get up and I get my Brooks adrenaline on. And I get out there in the street. Now, I used to run, but I can't run anymore because my knees won't let me. But I can still walk and walk fast. As long as I don't get into the gallop, my knees are fine. So Monday through Friday, I will walk quickly 4 miles a day. You welcome? You're looking at a specimen right here. But anyway, listen to me. While I'm out there on that road, I'm thinking about what I've been studying that morning. And I'm not muttering. Bless God, I'm talking out loud. And I can tell you this, if this helps you, if you have a tendency to talk out loud in public, people will leave you alone. So I'm walking this week I'm walking and I'm thinking, okay, a farmer is an example of waiting on God. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, then what does a farmer do? And I'm thinking, and then the thoughts come to me, well, look at everything the farmer does before God does anything. Listen, this is the truth. Some of my greatest thoughts and applications come when I'm out there on the street and not in that office. It's meditation. I'm thinking about it. Listen, meditate it. Meditate on God's word and keep meditating on it till you really believe it. Second example. Go to the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And then in Malachi, count back 5 books backward because I want you in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1. Now, I know that's something that a doctor would look at you and say, look, you got Habakkuk and it's really bad. But he's a person. He was a person. You are suffering from Habakkuk. Now, here's what's going on. In Habakkuk chapter 1, listen to me and stay with me. We're going to be done in a few minutes. In Habakkuk chapter 1, there is this running dialogue between the prophet Habakkuk and God. In other words, Habakkuk looked out at his day, and Habakkuk was deeply disturbed by something that was going on in his society. So he did what he ought to do. He went to God and he said, look, God, this is really bothering me. He took his problem to God. Now watch the conversation. Habakkuk chapter 1, look at verse 2. Habakkuk says, chapter 1, verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Drop down, look at verse 3. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict that abounds. What was bothering Habakkuk is that Habakkuk looked out on his world and Habakkuk says, listen, the righteous people are suffering and the sinners having a good time. And Habakkuk didn't understand that. So he's taking his case to God. He's asking God, you got to help me to understand why things are the way they are. Drop down to verse 13. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Habakkuk tells God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up the more righteous than themselves? Now look at me. The prophet has his say. This is what is bothering me. And so he pours it out to God. Well, now that the prophet has his say, what is he going to do? Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. When Habakkuk had his say, when Habakkuk prayed, what the prophet did next is he waited. I am going to wait to see how God answers this. But now look what he's doing while he's waiting. He goes up into the tower. In the ancient cities, there was a tower. Well, from that tower, you could see everything that was going on. So Habakkuk is now up in that tower. The prophet is waiting, and the prophet is meditating to see now just what is God going to do. I've told him what's wrong. I prayed about this, and now I'm waiting on this. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. Then the Lord replied. You got it? Look at me. I'm trying to help you. You got it? Habakkuk prayed. Habakkuk waited. Habakkuk thought about this. And then God answered. Now, what was the time period, the time lapse between verse 1 when Habakkuk was waiting and verse 2 when the reply come? I don't have any idea. I don't know if Habakkuk waited 5 minutes or 5 weeks or 5 months for that answer. Brethren, listen to me. Don't just sit there and wait on God. Waiting on God is a time of preparation. You do what you can do. Waiting is a time of meditation. Brethren, God has made promises to you and I in this book. Get in this book and meditate on those promises until you believe them. Number 3, quickly. James chapter 5, in verse 11, waiting is a time of cooperation. And James uses the patriarch Job. Look at verse 11 quickly. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Listen, Job was a believer. Amen? Believed in God. Job was also wealthy. Now, I hear folks saying all the time, you can't be both righteous and wealthy. Well, Job was. Job wasn't only righteous and Job wasn't only wealthy, but Job suffered greatly. Well, I also hear people say, well, you know, if you're the rich, don't ever suffer. Job did. Well, if you're wealthy, nothing bad ever happens to you. It happened to Job. Job lost everything. Job lost all of his wealth. Job lost all of his children. Job lost his health. Job lost the spiritual integrity of his wife. But when that was over, do you know what Job said? Job said in Job 1 and in verse 21, he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will depart from here. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What was Job saying? Job was cooperating with God. Job was saying, listen, I came into the world, I didn't have anything. That means that everything I have, God gave me. Well, if God gave it to me, then God can take it back because it's his and it's not mine. And then you got Mrs. Job. She has one sentence in all of the Bible. In Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, she come to Job after all this. Job, you still have your integrity. Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said to her, you talk like a foolish woman. Job said, how can I accept good from God, but then not accept evil? What is Job doing? Job is cooperating with God. Now, did Job know how this was going to turn out? No, sir, and no, ma'am. Did Job know how all of this was going to unfold at the end? No, sir, and no, ma'am. Here's what Job was saying. Job was saying, listen, God, any way you want to do this, it's going to be fine with me, because at the end, I know it's going to be good. Not my will, thy will be done. Waiting is a time of preparation. Waiting is a time of meditation. Get into those promises and stay there till you believe them. Waiting is a time of cooperation. Obey. Now, let's close with this. Well, at least he's getting up down there. He gets down here, he's about to close. Three great benefits from waiting on God. Here they are. Three great benefits from waiting on God. Number one, Psalm 25 and verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God, you are God, my Savior, and hope. My hope is in you all day long. The first thing that waiting does is that God is teaching us. When you are waiting on God, God is teaching you. There's a million things that we can be taught while we're waiting on God. Maybe what God is teaching you is patience. Maybe what God is doing is teaching you wisdom. Maybe what God is teaching you is trust. God is teaching you, listen, you can wait on me, and the whole time you wait on me, you can trust me, because it's going to work out. So while we wait on God, one of the benefits, listen, he's teaching me. The second benefit from waiting on God, Psalm 33 and verse 20. We wait in hope of the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. The second thing that God does while we are waiting is that God protects us. He is our shield. Brethren, listen to me. While you're waiting on God, God hasn't cut you off. Well, you just out there on your own now till I answer. No. We are waiting on God, but while we wait, God is going to teach us something. And while we wait, God is going to protect us. God will never leave you. Now, you may choose to walk away from him, but that's on you. The third great benefit from waiting on God is Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who hope, that is, those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. God will give you the strength to get through what you're waiting on. This and I'm done. Imagine with me. A man is very late at night. Streets are empty, but he pulls up in his car to a red light. And he's sitting there waiting for this light to change. And he's thinking, why am I waiting here? There's nothing coming that way. There's nothing. This is just dumb that I'm sitting here waiting for this light to turn green. Brethren, listen, sometimes that's exactly the way God is toward us. We want to go, but the light is still red. Did you hear me? Sometimes we want the door to be open, but the door is still closed and the door is still locked. When you're in your car, listen, when you're in your car and you pull up to a red light, that doesn't mean the journey's over. All it means is you gotta wait a minute. And in life, sometimes what we have to do is we have to wait. So don't just sit there, wait on God. Pray while you're waiting. Do what you can about the situation while you're waiting. Meditate on the promises that God has made you while you're waiting. Obey and cooperate while God is waiting. Last sentence. You need to write this down, and you need to stick this on your refrigerator or on your dresser or somewhere. Don't ever mistake God's absence for his lack of presence. Let me finish the sentence. Don't ever mistake God's absence for his lack of presence. Because when you are waiting on God, God is working for you. So don't just sit there. Wait on God. If you need to respond, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.